When you take on your role of mentor and guide and reframe your thinking around your relationship with your child with this piece in mind, you will find you can still accomplish all the goals you have in mind about your relationship.
Hello and welcome. I'm Tara, the founder of Raising Resilient Children. I support parents with the tools and skills they need to become the parent they want to be. Using my signature framework, the language of kindness, and parent clues for problem solving, I teach you ways to make parenting easier while fostering connection and building essential life skills for resiliency. As a longtime educator, former preschool owner, and parent, I have been working with parents and children for over 20 years. From this experience, I know there is no cookie-cutter approach to parenting, and information can be overwhelming. Let's tackle some of this by having some important conversations and digging into some different topics.
So, there's a feeling, a role, a thought in parenting that might actually be one of the things that's confusing you and making it harder for you to create effective boundaries and limits. Parents and caring adults often share with me that they worry about what their child thinks of them, that their relationship goal is to build a strong friendship. Let me start off by sharing that this is something I've been pondering pretty much as long as I've been an educator, like 20 some odd years. From those very first days when I thought I knew a lot and really I knew very little. Well, I knew a lot of information, but I didn't have the layers of experience to go with it. I've pondered this idea for so long because it's something that comes up with pretty reasonable regularity, and people tend to have really strong feelings on one side or the other. We love to pick sides, and something I understand more and more as I get older and more experienced, this is a terrible way to approach our challenges because the sweet spot is often somewhere in the middle. When I was setting up this podcast and reflecting, I thought one of the best ways or one of the best examples that I could think of was from a group I was moderating in the fall. There was a conversation about trying to be a different parent than their parents. This is a common topic. That they felt distant, weren't validated, and really just not loved in the way they wish they were. Now, it's really important for me to say, this doesn't mean they weren't loved. It means they didn't feel love in the way that might have been a better fit for their personality. I think this is where a lot of people are getting lost in reflecting on how they were parented and how they want to show up now as parents. We fall a bit too far down the rabbit hole of how we wish things were different for us and apply that thinking like a blueprint for our kids. But our children aren't us. They have their own personalities and nuance, and we're living in a completely different world. Previous generations didn't have the tools or skills to understand emotions or personalities the way we do now. There was also a pretty distinctive box for what personality type was believed to be the most successful. And like all parents across every generation, they wanted to help ensure their children were set up to be successful. That meant valuing characteristics like being outgoing, mentally strong, academically proficient, effectively assertive, and most of all, really good at suppressing emotions. I think that's one of the things that we're struggling with now. We still have that boxed out personality type, but we are realizing people, especially our children, are so much more complex, and different people have different things to offer the world. So we're playing this invisible game of tug of war between validating our children, validating the ideals of success, and trying not to be our parents, or at least those memories of how they handled things. Anyhow, returning to that moderation example, at the end of the conversation, the person shared that it's really hard to be a parent because they struggle deeply with wanting to be their child's best friend. I've heard so many different versions of this over the years, whether it was as a teacher, an administrator, or a preschool owner. The context always came up around discomfort around hurting their child's feelings, or worrying that it would affect their connection, or worrying their child would hate them or be angry with them. This led to them having a really hard time holding an important boundary or limit, or following through to make a child accountable for their choices. Here's a little deep dive into that piece. Kids make mistakes. Awesome kids make mistakes. Well-grounded kids make mistakes. Kids who know right from wrong make mistakes. Kids who are connected to their parents make mistakes. Kids make all kinds of mistakes. And sometimes those mistakes require school phone calls and things of that nature. Long before I had kids, I would often leave my office saying to myself that if ever I have children, I will never be the parent who says it wasn't my kid, or I trust my kid. because there's always more to the story, and this was really helpful. Because the problem isn't the mistake made or how it was made, it's the journey to fixing it. Every parent wants their kid to be perfect, especially outside their home. But this isn't real, and you'd be surprised why different kids ended up in my office and who those kids were. That's the box I was talking about. Successful personality box where kids don't make mistakes or show their feelings or be affected by impulse control. We all do not awesome things sometimes. And when we avoid or have people avoid us taking accountability and working through those, we just get really good at doing not awesome stuff. So yes, I do trust my kids, but I also know they are human and they will make mistakes and maybe they'll do things I wish they wouldn't do. But I have stood behind my statement that I will never tell an educator it wasn't my kid because it can be any kid. And there are situations where I've doubted the course of events and problem solved through that, but I've never said it's impossible that it was my kid. Instead, I help problem solve the layers and the different stories involved because I've seen all kinds of kids make all kinds of mistakes. And I've also seen all kinds of excuses for those mistakes and avoidance of accountability and the whole nine yards. There's something really important I want to say about all this. I don't think you're a bad parent if your child makes mistakes. But I know society isn't always as forgiving. However, if we go in with the mindset that mistakes happen and the goal is to problem solve fixing the mistake, it can go a long way to figuring out why it happened in the first place. We can do this when we think of ourselves as a mentor or guide versus friend. It might seem like I've veered a bit off topic here, but actually this is all part of an important bigger conversation. When we have the mindset as a parent that we are our child's friend, we are not able to show up for them in the ways they need us to. Here's a very loose definition of the difference between a friend and a guide or mentor. A friend is someone who is roughly the same maturity level as you. In other words, likely a similar age. They probably have a similar perspective and they care deeply about what others think of them. This is key. They care about what their friends think of them. To agree, there is a level of judgment that passes between friends. Not necessarily always the bad kind. The kind where you find similar interests or maybe you share similar values and so on. But there is also always this little element of fear built into friendships about sharing hard truths, even among the greatest of friends. Some people might even say that this is the truest test of friendship, to share freely with less fear. In other words, on some level, you might always be on guard around your friends because you don't want to offend or hurt their feelings. Now, you can imagine that this line of thinking might not put you in the kind of mindset you need to show up in your parenting. When you care about what your child thinks of you, worry about the things they say about and to you, that unwritten judgment stuff that passes between friends, what you are worrying about is things that will impact your ability to make decisions, set important boundaries, and be able to do things that ultimately will make your child very unhappy with you at times. In friendship, we don't set out to make our friends unhappy, usually the opposite. Sometimes we even bend our truths to fit in and comply with that version of happiness. Now, I'm not saying in parenting you set out to make your kids unhappy, but I guarantee if you're doing things well, there's going to be a lot of unhappy feelings surrounding some of your decisions. This is a really important piece and perhaps the biggest difference between parenting now and previous generations. It's how you teach your child to handle and manage those uncomfortable feelings that will help them move forward with your decision-making. Previous generations told you to suck it up and push it aside. That's the real issue. It's thought that you needed to accept everything your parents said to be validated. You needed to have your feelings of frustration, disappointment, annoyance, etc., all of those things validated. Kids are self-focused. They love to experience things that make them feel good and dislike doing things that are hard. Sure, some kids thrive on being helpful and things like that. But in general, I think it's pretty fair to say if children were given free rein without any adult oversight or guidance, they would make some pretty unhealthy choices for their body and mind. That's the whole reason adults guide children and increasingly build their skills for independence over a very lengthy trajectory. 18 to 20 years or so is when most adults leave home in Canada and the United States. And it's actually between 20 to 25 that they have fully developed executive functioning skills. Things like time management, impulse control, emotional regulation, effective memory strategies, and all the things. I like to think of the dichotomy between friend and guide as the difference between unwavering love and like. We don't need our children to like us. We need our children to know we love them. We love them when they screw up. We love them when they do awesome things. We love them so much that we say and do things that are really hard for us to do. And deep inside, we wish we didn't have to stand so firmly in our stance, but we have to hold strong so that we don't bend to that temptation of bending because we worry about whether our children will like us or not, or like it or not. Here's where this reframe is extremely helpful. When your children are testing your limits, pushing every boundary, and treating you with unkindness, you can stand firm in your decision because you love them. And in that moment, they don't like you. It is not actually you they don't like. It's your boundary, your rule, your limit or decision. Something that is getting lost in the world right now, we can validate children, acknowledge their awesomeness, but we also have to remember that adults have a ton of life experience, fully developed executive functioning skills, and ultimately are authorities for a number of reasons. We have almost become afraid of this fact. You can still validate feelings and your children without losing your role as a guide and mentor. We all know there are different kinds of leaders out there, some more effective than others. It's the type of leader you choose to be that will determine your effectiveness. This is something I teach in my program, Building Resilience Through Kindness. Now, there's another piece of this, and that is realizing that you are not your child's friend and that this won't prevent you from having an amazing relationship where they can confide in you and you can be an important support for them. The parents I work with tell me time and again, when they implement the systems with confidence, things actually get better. Their children exhibit more kindness and confidence, and generally everyone gets along better. The opposite of what was happening when they worried about offending, upsetting, or hurting their child's feelings and vice versa, when they were thinking like a friend. You've heard me say it before. Brains love the path of least resistance, and if your child finds a path in your fortitude because they sense your concern about how they will think about you, unfortunately, it will be leveraged. I know it feels like your child is saying really mean stuff about or to you, but really they are just wanting to get their way or trying to find a limit that's too murky. Depending on the age of your child, it's not even with malicious intent. It's literally self-serving dino brain. I hate you likely means I hate this rule you've put in place, and one of the things we have to teach them is mean what you say and say what you mean, right? I hate your rule is what they actually mean. Now, personally, I have strong feelings about the word hate, but I know it's a common phrase said to parents by children expressing their big, uncomfortable feelings. The temptation is to take that language super personally, but something I help parents understand is how to see what that language is actually meaning or doing. It's words being used to push a limit or change a limit because those words are causing wavering in your parenting because they are hurting your feelings. I know this all sounds very intentional, and in older kids, it can be. But with younger kids, it's all emotional nuance. I call children emotional radars. You can try your best to hide your feelings, but they can sense them anyways. That's a topic for another day. This is the message I want to leave you with. When you take on your role of mentor and guide and reframe your thinking around your relationship with your child with this piece in mind, you will find you can still accomplish all the goals you have in mind about your relationship. But you will be more equipped to handle the hiccups and bumps of parenting with confidence. Being a parent at times does mean having really thick skin. This is the reality. But it can be really helpful to reframe your thinking so that you can process their behaviors and choices using logic instead of emotion. When you worry if your children like your decisions, you are operating using your emotional thinking versus your logical thinking. You are thinking like a friend instead of a mentor or guide. Friends come and go, but parenting is forever. If you didn't catch episode 28 about resetting your routines to navigate parenting overwhelm, I highly recommend you check that one out because I talk about the value of predictability before flexibility. This is the role of a parent over a lifetime trajectory to provide that predictability and stability grounded in logic. Okay, so I'd love to know if this conversation is resonating with you, if you feel like I've helped you reframe your thinking, or if you'd like more on this topic. Drop a comment on my new podcast page at taragrado.ca/podcast. You can find the link in the show notes. I've got some pretty cool things in the works for that page, including this, an option to drop your comments and ask questions I will cover in future episodes. For now, thanks so much for listening, and I can't wait to hear your thoughts.